Hallelujah. You ready for the word this morning? Let's start out with our favorite new Bible verse of the year, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Amen? Say it with me. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. He always leads us in triumph in Christ. And this is part of what we're going to be talking about this year even, is leading us in triumph of Christ. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Now, Ecclesiastes is one of those sobering books because he's looking back on his life. This is Solomon that wrote it. He's looking back on his life and says, oh, woe is me. Everything is vanity, vanity, and vanity. But there's still some good things in it about that God has timing and he does things in his time. Now, I won't even go there because that opens up a whole other topic. But to everything, there is a season. There is a season for the word of God to come to pass. There is a season for God to move in new ways. There was a season, and at the right time, Jesus was born in the earth. He couldn't have been born sooner. He couldn't have been born later. He was born at the right time. God ordained this. This is why the prophecy is so important, like in Daniel 9:25 that we've been talking about, that 483 years after that prophecy, according to the prophecy, the time for Jesus came to be born, and he was born. Isn't it amazing? 14 generations, 14 generations, 14 generations, the Christ. We can see the pattern when we look in hindsight, but you don't always see it in advance unless you're really specifically looking for it. But in 2018, God told us that 2019 was to live life in the Spirit. And for 2020, he said it would be the year without measure. And we are entering into the year without measure. The two go together. Living life in the Spirit enables us to live life without measure. But you've got to do the two. It's not, whoo, we finally made it. I survived to 2020. And now we're all ready to go in the, oh, it's a year without measure. Hallelujah. Thank you. Well, if you're not living in the Spirit, you're still limiting yourself. You're still limited. See, we need to see these things together. But I believe this year without measure is for good and evil. I think we're going to see both sides of it this year. We're going to see with good without measure, without bound or without limitations. But we're going to see evil pop up in some areas, again, without measure. And I think we're going to be astounded at some of the evil things that are going to come to the surface, and we're going to say, who could imagine this stuff? But we're going to see such goodness of God come up that we're going to, oh, God, thank you that we're in your hand. Thank you, God, we are in your protection. Thank you, Father, you protect your people and your chosen one. We're going to see that differentiation this year of a lot of things coming to pass. He said, well, Gordon, I thought we already saw it. Oh, it's going to get worse. You know, even in the natural, they're saying that when Trump gets reelected in November of this year, that it's going to get worse. And I'm thinking, how could it get worse? They've already impeached him, except they haven't. He's already been branded a war criminal because he killed a war criminal, a mastermind terrorist, and they're upset at it. And everybody said, well, he was an evil man. He needed to be taken out. And one person actually said this. It was the right decision by the wrong man. Can you believe that? I mean, how much hatred do you have to have in you that you root for the enemy because you're worried about who's going to get the credit? My goodness. This is what I want us to see. You cannot watch the natural to see the move of the Spirit. It's why we've got to live life in the Spirit to enter the year without measure. You must be able to see the Spirit moving. And if you are to understand what you see in the natural, if you don't see the Spirit, the natural is not going to make sense to you. If you can't see what God is doing outside of the natural visible things, if you're not going to understand what you see in the natural. Because God is moving beyond what we see in the natural. And you've got to begin to look at that, because you won't be able to put things together in the natural until after the fact. But if you see in the spirit, you can know ahead of time, this is God. You can be aware of what is going on. Go to 1 John 4, 4 to 6. I'm trying to rush a little bit because I want to get through all of this morning. We're just introducing the year without measure. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, and notice the words you and they. And we talked about this some last year, but the Bible draws a differentiation between us and the world. Okay, we are in the world, we are not of the world. So there's a difference here. And here it says, you, that's talking about us, the church, the believers in God, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. So because they talk like the world understands them and hears them. Now, being in church, we speak churchese. Okay, so someone can say to you, have faith in God. We know what they mean. It's not confusing to us. When someone says, you know, they hear bad news, that Jesus is Lord. We understand. We know what they're trying to say to us. They don't have to go into detail. But if you're of the world and someone says, Jesus is Lord, Jesus who? Lord of what? You know, it's the world can't understand what we're talking about because they're not of God. Is that any plainer than that? This is why we have got to know who we are and to whom we belong to. Now, verse 6 says again, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. Ooh, that's good. He who is not of God does not hear us. There's some spiritual discernment there. Okay. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. The only way you can know truth is to understand there's error. If you don't believe that there's any error out there, then you'll never come to a knowledge of the truth, because there's no truth to come to the knowledge of. Because there's only error. Well, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Yeah, that's right, we all do. But his righteousness is revealed to all. You know, yes, we all fall short of God, but he has saved us all if we believe on him. It's not, you know, and Christians use that, well, you know, we've all sinned. Yeah, we have, but not, we didn't die in our sins. We're born again, hallelujah. We're forgiven of our sins. We're changed, hallelujah. All things now are of God, hallelujah. And so the world looks at you like, are you saying you're God? Oh, man, get over this stuff. You know, the world is so worried about being PC that they can't understand simple things being said. Because so many simple things are so profound in their nature, and they just don't get it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brethren in the world. We need to be sober. We need to be vigilant, because there is a spirit of truth. There is a spirit of error. And we need to have the right discernment to know what's what or which is which. We need to have this understanding of this. But you can only have that in the spirit, because in the natural, things sound so good. And they some of them sound almost Christian. Last year, someone made the comment of that they want us to be more Christian than Christ was. You know, we're trying to out-Christian Jesus Christ. So, well, Jesus fed the poor. Well, yeah. So, well, you should all feed the poor. I was like, well, Jesus, he fed the poor, but he fed the poor at who came to his meetings. He didn't feed the poor of the world. He fed the poor that came to his meetings. And he didn't feed them because they were poor. He fed them because they were so diligent and committed to hearing the word of God that after several days they ran out of food. So he was showing them a spiritual example. Not only will I meet you in the natural, but my natural is coming from my supernatural, and it will provide for your natural. And a few of them caught it. His disciples, he had to teach it. They didn't get it. Do you not understand the parable of the loaves and the fish? You know, what was that, Jesus? I got to teach you guys this all over again. See, but we've got to be vigilant. We've got to be sober. We've got to resist the devil steadfast in faith of who God is and what he has made us to be. Again, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. This is a pattern of living. It's not just an experience that we occasionally have. We've got to learn how to walk by faith and not sight. In Matthew 7, this is really interesting. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Now, this ought to make us nervous. If it doesn't, get nervous now. If it doesn't make you nervous. But he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. If you listen to a lot of the politicians, I've never heard so much God talk among so many of them. And it's like, and people will say, well, they talk about God. Yeah, but are they doing his will? These same people are talking about God and boasting about their Christianity, are wanting to kill babies. They're wanting to deny that God created us male and female. You know, and listen to what they do. But they said, I don't care what they said. Jesus says, many will call me Lord, Lord. But he says, they shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. He goes on to say in 22, many will say, again, this gets me, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That means no restraint. That means I'm not going to live by the word of God. You know, this is why, you know, I talked about the Bible reading calendar to try to read the Bible through in a year. You may not achieve it. That's okay. Don't condemn yourself. But at least make an attempt, because so few Christians have ever read the whole Bible from cover to cover. So few Christians even read the Bible. It's astounding how many have not read the Bible. Well, how can you believe except that you've heard? And if you don't hear, if you don't come to church, if you don't listen to preachers on TV and radio, if you don't, how can you have faith except there be a preacher? You've got to hear the word of God. And for Christians to say, well, I never heard that before. Well, where have you been? Even secular TV carries Christian programming. Where have you been? You've been an ostrich. You put your whole head in the ground. Well, I just don't want to believe this. I just don't want any part of this. Listen to the commentators on TV. They mock Christians, and then they moralize to us. You know, I love it. Even the Bible says, even the demons present themselves as angels of light. Well, don't we know that? But if you don't know the word of God, if you don't know the will of God, you can be easily seduced. And that's where we've got to be sober, we've got to be vigilant, we've got to resist the things of the devil. Now go with me to Matthew 24. Jesus talked about this a lot, and we're not going to go into great detail about it, but Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, Jesus says, take heed that no one deceives you. Well, that tells you there's people out there trying to deceive you. There's people out there practicing ways to deceive. They call them focus groups. You know, how can we get our message across in a way that we can manipulate people to believe us? Well, that usually means there's a way to get your message out. There's some wisdom in that. But when they're talking about deceiving people, you know, Planned Parenthood, it's not about killing babies, it's about women's health care. but the only thing you do. And this was admitted last year by one of the top people of Planned Parenthood. The only thing they do is abortion. That's all they do. They don't have anything in their offices. In no office in the United States, they don't have anything like to give mammograms, to give pap smears, nothing at all. The only thing they have, they can refer you, but you can refer yourself. The only medical procedure that Planned Parenthood does is to abort babies. That's their whole business. But see, they don't say, we're the abortion clinic in the area and you need to come to us because we want to kill your children for population control, not for your health, but for population control. That has been said by several this year. But they cloak it because they want you to think they're concerned about, now think about the words, Planned Parenthood. Sounds so noble. But the only thing they do is kill babies. That's all they're interested in, is killing babies. And it's been made apparent this year, they're selling body parts. One person, you know, they got upset because this conservative group went in like CBS does, like CNN does, like all ABC does and NBC has done in the past. And they go in with their hidden camera and microphone and they have a conversation, record it, and then expose them. And the judge awarded damages to Planned Parenthood against the guy who did that. It's in contest right now. It'll probably, I'm believing in God's name, it'll be overturned. But they found out they're actually selling baby parts. And they're letting babies be born alive and cutting their heart out while it's still beating so they can sell the heart to a hospital to save somebody else's life. And yet they say, we're Christians, and we're doing the job of Jesus to help people plan their families and to save lives. It's like, no, they're violating the law, moral, spiritual, and even natural law, because we have laws against those things. So Jesus says, take heed that no one deceive you. Verse 5, for many will come. Again, the word many, that makes me nervous. Many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. I'm doing this in Jesus' name. You know, it's not only out there, it's in the church. There is a major denomination this year that will have a final vote, and I don't understand the news reports because they're not stating it clearly, but it sounds like in the news reports they're going to allow the traditional Bible-believing Christians to separate from the church. Which, if that's accurate, it means that the gays, the lesbian community, are going to take over a major denomination in the United States this year. But why do you want to join a club if you don't believe what the club believes in? You know, why do you want to go to a church that doesn't believe what you want? See, they're trying to overturn church doctrine of 2,000 years for a convenience so they can walk in sin today. And they've always been allowed to leave. They could always start their own denomination. They could always start their own effort. They could, but they don't want to. Why? They want the name and the reputation of the denomination to give them credibility. They're in the church. Still in Matthew 24, verse 11, Jesus says this again. Well, in verse 6, it says, you will hear wars and rumors of war. Boy, we're hearing that today, aren't we? See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. But if you go on down to verse 11, it says, then, after all these things, then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. You know, Jesus says there's going to be false prophets, and then when all these things come to pass, there's going to be more false prophets come up. Well, we're seeing that too in our day, aren't we? We're seeing more and more people pop up, and they're just prophesying. And they're prophesying out of their own understanding, out of their own natural sight that they see, and they're trying to prophesy something and say, well, see, this is what God told me. And God didn't tell them that. And I can prove by Scripture that God didn't tell them that, because God will not violate His word. In verse 24, Jesus goes on to say, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." Even the elect. The devil, listen, the devil already has the world. He doesn't need to deceive them because they're already deceived. He needs to deceive the church. He needs to deceive the believers to get us to, it's like Jesus. You know, the devil came to Jesus with scripture on the Mount of Temptation. Now, how could an unholy thing use the holy scripture? Because he's a liar. And he tried to deceive Jesus. And the only way that Jesus came back at him was with the Word of God. See, if you don't know the Word of God, you can be deceived by somebody misapplying the Word of God. So you've got to know the Word of God for yourself. Amen. So Jesus is talking here in Matthew 24 about deception. Now in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Let me get here for a minute. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Paul writes, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." They will use philosophy. Well, don't you love people? How you hear this? This is one of the great arguments against God. How can a loving God, if God exists, how can a loving God let people die? Well, he doesn't. People die because of sin. Now, that because of the world we live in, we find it hard to believe that God created Adam and Eve to not die. But he created your body to live forever. Sin cuts it short. And I can prove that to you biologically of what happens when we reproduce. And they don't know why it happens, but there's certain segments in your body that get, the older you get, when, because your body replicates every 7 years, except there's one part that doesn't, and it just gets shorter and shorter and shorter. And what they found out is when that part becomes non-existent, you die. Biologically, they can prove this, but it came because of sin, because of the deterioration of the body. But Jesus made a way for you to live forever. That you don't have to die. You're going to have to vacate the physical body, but you don't die. You can live forever with him and knowing him. Hallelujah. So he says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit." If you go down to verse 18 in Colossians 2, he says again, "Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, in intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." So don't let him cheat you of your reward. As a believer, you have a reward, but you can be cheated out of it if you listen to the wrong voices of what God has promised. This is, you know, did God really say that? This is a fundamental sin and temptation. Did God really say that? Did God really say you could be saved? Did God really say you could know him? Did God really say that he's forgiven you? Did God really say he'll change your situation? Did God really say? And the answer is, yeah. It's that simple. But when you doubt, see, you can have faith for something, but doubt will cause your faith to short circuit. So we have the faith of Christ. This is a whole other issue. We have the faith of Christ. You got born again by the faith of God. It is a gift given to us, but doubt will short circuit it. And you can still have faith, but doubt will short circuit your faith and cause it to not work for you. But he says here, don't be deceived. Don't let these people cheat you out of your inheritance. Now, when metals are cleansed, when they're purified, every impurity must rise to the surface in order to be scraped away. I believe that's what we're going through right now. Is there's a process of purifying going on in the church. It's now becoming evident in the church. It started last year with Christianity Today. It's continuing in the one denomination today. It's been boiling. It's been there for a while, but now it's coming up to almost a full boil, and we're going to see all those things come to the surface, and there will be those who will cheer at the impurities. And there will be others who will say, but that's the impure stuff coming to the surface. We want to get rid of it because what's underneath of it, what is hidden, what is unrevealed, is the pure stuff. It's the right stuff. But it's got to be scraped away. In the word of the Lord you have at the back of the church, this is from December the 22nd. Two sections I want to bring out of that to you. It says, this year to come, 2020, this year to come will be the time of the rising and the falling of many people. In that day that the world declares as utter darkness, my light will shine forth and my glory shall be revealed to all those who worship me. The world is going to be saying, darkness, darkness, darkness. And at the same time they're yelling that darkness has come upon us, we're going to be rising up and God's going to shine his glory out through us as believers and through the church. But see, you got both things. Both things going on at the same time. Kenneth Copeland prophesied this 30 years ago. You're going to see darkness and light, the glory of God and the sinfulness of the world come to pass at the same time. See, there's some prophets out there, all they can see is doom and destruction. Well, they're right. You see, other prophets, all they have is glory and the benefit of the church, and they're right. And you say, well, how can they both be right? One's talking about the world that you need to get out of, and the other's talking about the church that we need to get into. Amen? So they're both right, but they're coming from different perspectives. They're coming from different things, but they're both accurate, but you've got to know which group you're in. If you're in the world, repent. If you're in the church, stand strong. Amen. The second thing out of that word from December the 22nd says some media, or some whom the media have declared to be shooting stars and rising stars, will suddenly burn out. And I will raise up those who the world discounts. Oh, that's us. And you will see them rise up, and they shall become shooting stars, not rising stars. They shall become the lights of my glory. And you're seeing that right now beginning to happen, and you're going to see more of them. They're going to become lights of the glory of God. Hallelujah. It is such a year. 2020 is a prophetic year. It is going to be the year without measure, without limitations, without restrictions. Go to John chapter 6, verses 31 to 33. Jesus is talking about the manna, and they came to him in 31 and says, our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven. And Jesus says in verse 32, he says, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Oh, hallelujah. See, this is so crucial because manna comes from heaven. And Jesus is beginning to tell them that I am that bread of life, the true manna that comes down from heaven. I am that manna from heaven. Now, a lot of times we kind of misunderstand this, but I want to set this straight. Moses did not give them the manna in the wilderness. Some people are trying to make a contrast. Well, see, Moses gave them the manna in the wilderness, but God gives the true bread. No, the manna that Moses gave them came from heaven. But as far as the people were concerned, they only understood Moses gave it to us. They didn't catch the God part. Moses gave us the bread from heaven. So Jesus is trying to make this distinction to them. But this is a problem. The church has become man-centered. The manna is a type. It's an example of what was to come. God gave them the manna, but all they could see was the man Moses. All they could see was Moses. Oh, look what Moses did. Look what Moses did. I tell you, God is getting us into a position. He said it last week, but he's getting us into a position. You have got to believe God. You will not be able to make it in any other way if you do not believe God. If you don't wholeheartedly lean on him and trust him, which is what we're supposed to do anyway. But if you don't do that, you're putting yourself in an awkward situation. Jesus said, "My Father gives you the true bread from heaven." 40 years they ate manna, but they never understood what God was showing to them. They still refused the gift of God to be made priests and prophets and kings in the earth, to be made representatives of the Father. This is what the manna was showing to them. This is what the manna was there to reveal to them. This is what Jesus came to make us, kings and priests in the earth, to be sons and daughters of God. And this is what the manna was all about. God saying, if you would have believed me, I would have done this for you. Listen, I'm giving you heavenly food. I'm giving you the gifts from heaven to you. And you missed your opportunity because now you're just getting it to satisfy your natural needs when you could have walked in such a higher capacity. And just like that, many Christians today, we're content as long as my daily needs are met. And we miss the fact that you are a representative of God in the earth, that you are a son and a daughter of the Almighty God, that He lives and dwells in us, and we are to live and move and have our being in Him. We miss that. As long as we are satisfied in the natural, as long as our natural needs are met. I mean, how many Christians do you know that they believe God in healing, it didn't work out, and now they got mad at God and they're not even in church anymore? I thought you were people of great faith. I thought you believed this thing. Oh, unto my death I believe. Hallelujah. And the first time it doesn't work out for you, you've abandoned God. Oh, man of great faith. I mean, sometimes you just want to look at, oh, man of great faith. Do you know what faith is? Faith is standing when everything is against you. Faith is believing when nothing agrees with you in the natural. By faith we live. By faith we move in God. By faith we move. Not because, oh, this is the easy way to go. Faith will always contradict the world because the world wants to steal and kill and destroy. And faith is always saying, but I believe in a God who has life. I believe in a God that will overcome. I believe in a God that is in me, that He's greater than he that is in the world. And I'm going to obey Him and break the power of the world against me. That's what faith is doing. Faith is choosing a way apart from the world to live for God. Amen? So the first manna met the natural needs, and that's where we get the understanding that Yahweh provides. This new bread of heaven goes beyond the natural. Moses was not the source, but only a channel used by God. But now God has sent Jesus Christ. Jesus is not simply a channel for the Father to flow through. Listen to this. He is not simply a channel to flow. We go to God in prayer on that. Oh, I prayed in the name of Jesus. He's not a channel. He is life. He is the life. He is the manna from heaven given to us. Amen. We have been following men. We have entered into a time of following Jesus for ourselves. Our self-sufficiency has reached its end. Now all things are of God. This is the line of demarcation. Now all things are of God. If you watch the world, you're going to get confused. You're going to get trapped. Now all things are of God. I'm going to keep my eyes on God. I'm going to keep my ears open for God. I'm going to follow after Him. Amen. Jesus, let me read my notes. This is the year of crossover. We either live by the Spirit or by the flesh. John 3:6, Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. If we're born of the Spirit, we need to walk by the Spirit. We need to live in the Spirit. We need to follow after the Spirit because we are born of the Spirit. That is our natural habitat. Faith is natural to us because all things come from God. And it is natural for us as believers to trust God. It is natural for us to turn to God. It is natural for us to receive from God. If you're in the world, it's natural from the world to only look to natural resources to have their needs met, because they don't know any other way. But faith is natural to us. In 1 Corinthians 15:15, Paul writes, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. If you're going to live by flesh, you're not going to receive the benefits of the kingdom. You say, but I believe. Many will call me Lord, Lord. But see, our actions speak louder than our words. That's why sometimes I'm amazed over in the Middle East in the last couple of years, there's been so many martyrs. Did you hear on Christmas Day, I think it was in Somalia, 11 Christians were beheaded on Christmas Day because they were believers in Christ? I mean, the terrorists just came in, gathered up 11 Christians, beheaded them in the village, killed them. I said, these people aren't word of faith. These people don't believe in prophecy the way that we do. These people haven't done all the things. But their actions, they believed in God. And I'm sure when the whole story comes out that they were said either repent and deny God or we'll kill you. And I'll bet every one of them said, I will not deny my Lord. See, they were living in the Spirit, and it was revealed that their deeds spoke louder than the doctrine that they had because they dared to believe in God. We should be so bold. It should be so natural in us. What lies ahead of us demands that we live in the Spirit. In Mark 4, just finishing up, Mark 4, 24 and 25 says, then Jesus said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear more will be given. Faith cometh by hearing. If you hear God, if you hear what he's speaking, listen, more will be given to you. You're going to increase. You're without measure. Amen? You're going to get more. But he goes on to say in 25, for whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, what he's talking about, does not have the ability to hear God, whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. You cannot, as a believer, you cannot get to a point in your life where you refuse to hear anymore. Oh, I've heard all that faith stuff before. No, you need to hear faith stuff. Well, I've heard all that talk before. You need to hear more of it. When you hear it coming out of your mouth, I've heard that before, you need to double down and set your ears to hear again. So you can receive again what God has already imparted to you. You may know it, but you can know it more. You can know it better. Yeah. Hallelujah. Someone years ago made the statement that if it's not working for you, then you're not walking in faith. Ooh, but I believe God. But if it's not working, there's areas we can grow in. There's areas we can increase in. There's areas in my life I'm still working to overcome. There's mental things, emotional things that are barriers that create doubt that keep my faith from working because I know I have the faith of Christ. I know all things are possible to me who believes. Amen? But my doubts get in the way. And if my doubts get bigger than my faith or even distract my faith, I can have all the faith to bring these things to pass. Well, I do have all the faith to bring it to pass, but my doubt will block my faith from operating. So I've got to overcome my doubt. It's not just, do you believe God could do this? Well, almost every Christian would say, I believe God could do it if he wanted to. But what's preventing God from doing it? That little bit of doubt. Well, how do I know God wants to heal me? Come tonight or Wednesday night. You'll get a big answer for that in the Caris Healing University. You'll begin to understand some of these things. 2020 is significant. I'm closing now, finally. 2020 is significant. I don't get into figures. I don't get into numbers because we're going to jump off here next week. But just to have some things to think about, several weeks ago I was looking at this and 2020. 20 plus 20 is 40. 40 is a significant prophetic number in the Bible. For instance, Jesus was 40 days old when he was presented in the temple. We shared that last week. He was 40 days old when he was presented before the Lord, holy to the Lord. There were 40 days of the flood. Moses fasted 40 days when he received the Ten Commandments. Israel was 40 years in the wilderness. It was 40 days that the spies spied out the land of Canaan that God was giving to Israel. 2020 Peggy pointed this out to me. I hadn't thought about this. 20/20 is also used as perfect vision for your eyes. 20/20. To see clearly for the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And I'll just close with this. Could it be the year of the double? 2020. More and more. I don't know. I don't like to play games with numbers and years because I've seen a lot of people do that and it just gets real hokey. But I just have a feeling on the inside of me. This is significant. God's trying to tell us something. 40 is significant. And we got 2020. You know how long that's going to be before that happens again? Never. Just something to think about. But when you think about this year, could be a significant year. I believe it is a significant year. I believe we are going to see things turn. We are going to see, oh man, God began to speak this to me this morning when I was in prayer, but I'm real hesitant because I don't have a real unction to give it as of the Lord. But he was speaking to me this morning. He said, this is going to be the year of beginnings and endings. The year of beginnings and endings. And what I felt impressed with is that there's going to be some nations ended this year. We're going to see nations change this year. We're going to see one of the other things. We're going to see in people, in the lives of people, in politicians, beginnings and endings. You're going to see some politicians that are following the Lord really begin to be revealed. That's going to be a beginning of new things. You know, one of the things they've said about Donald Trump is if you impeach him, you get Mike Pence. And he's even more of a fanatic than Donald Trump is in religion. Not in personality, but in his belief in God. And they said that's kind of, some people even speculated, Donald Trump picked Mike Pence to be his running mate for fear that he knew he was going to be impeached. And he thought he was his cover. They won't impeach me because they don't want Mike Pence. Like, whatever. You know, I don't know about that, but this is what some people have speculated on. But it's going to be the year of endings for some of these politicians. Because it's coming out what they really believe. And they're saying it. And 2 years ago, the Lord spoke to us, and he said, there's going to be people that say things out of their mouth, and they're going to shock themselves when they say it because they're going to wonder, did I really say that out loud? It's what they think. But when you say it, you can't take it back. And there's been several of those instances in the last couple years of where they really shouldn't have. The news media is even saying they really shouldn't have said this because it reveals what they really think and what they will really do once they get into power. We are on the threshold. It's a year of crossover. It's going to be a year of beginnings and a year of endings in 2020. Now, more on that next week as we begin to get into some things. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Well, Father God, we give you praise. We thank you, God, you show us things in your word and show us things prophetically, God, before they come to pass. We thank you, Father, you speak to your children that we would not be caught unawares of what is going on in the world around us. Faith is not just a biblical issue. Faith is never meant to be just kept within the church. To be just kept within your own personal life. But I've given prophecy and faith to speak about the conditions of the world, to reveal the things that I am doing, that you are encountering, that you would have faith in me to overcome these because I've shown you the future to come, that the present will not overwhelm you. So walk in faith before me. Believe what I say, and you will see it come to pass in your time. For I am moving and I am still the creator, says God. And everyone who turns to me and comes to me, I create in him a right heart and a clean heart. And I lead them in the ways of my spirit that they would be my ambassadors in the earth. I do it for every person who comes to me, says God. And I will not refuse them and I will not demean them, says God, because they are my children, and I will hold every good and precious gift for them, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We thank you, God, for who you are. We thank you, Father. You've given us the gift of faith. You've given us, God, the ability that we have the faith of Christ, the full measure of faith that Jesus had out of Colossians. God, you've given us that measure of faith, God. And we thank you, God, this year, 2020, is the year without measure. And we thank you, God, that our faith is no longer limited, but our faith is released to believe for things that have been in our hearts for years, but we never acted on. But this year, Father, is going to be the year when we step out in faith in those areas, trusting you, Father, that you have already given us provision to do these things. We pray it. We thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen, amen. God bless you.